let me ask you, Elizabeth, being a former federal prosecutor, and I want to follow up on this again, and then we'll move on to the next question. As a prosecutor, looking at this from a criminal case aspect, taking it kind of out of the impeachment framework and into a criminal case, which of these so far do you think is the most prosecutable, if that's a word?
Okay, that is a word.
Okay.
Let me just start off by saying that I'm used to speaking to juries, and I've never spoken to a crowd of people eating popcorn and Gigi.
It's more fun this way.
It's way more fun. So, in answer to the question about what the case involving the Bush administration's conspiracy to defraud the United States in the context of misleading information about this war is no different than any other fraud case that's prosecuted around the country every week of every year. The only difference is that it is vastly greater in scope and it is vastly more dire in its effects. Those are the only differences. And obviously, then, what we have is a crime that's occurred, a crime that's ongoing. So for anyone, and I'm going to talk about how you would prove this just very briefly, but I want to say first, none of us, and this is not for you guys, because you already agree with me, but this is to tell everybody else, and including our legislators who are not like Congressman Waters, who can't decide what should be done here. But if any of us were witnesses to a crime that was happening right in front of your face, in your neighborhood, on the sidewalk, would you decide for yourself, well, is this going to be good for me if I do something to intervene? No. Would you strategize about it? No. And that's exactly what we have here. And we have, you know, the hardest thing about proving this as a criminal case is really only when did it actually start as a crime. But we know that this administration appointed 30, 40 people who had already, to their administration, who had already been on record publicly saying, we want to invade Iraq. We want to remove Saddam Hussein. We want to have permanent presence in the Middle East. We know that. We know that President Bush went in there and even before 9/11, he started talking about Iraq. And that was the first National Security Council meeting. And then we know that immediately after 9/11, the very same day, they sat around, Rumsfeld, Cheney, Rice, and all their aides and so forth, and they said, essentially, how do we use this as an opportunity to invade Iraq? That is just, it's beyond appalling. And what they did then is that they knew that nobody was going to go along with their true reasons for wanting to invade Iraq, so they lied. And they had a large fraud, which had to do with just these vague statements about grave and gathering danger and so forth, and some vague connection to 9/11 or Al-Qaeda. And that didn't work because at least some legislators said, wait a second, we need some proof here. So by the time you get to September of 2002, when we now know from Tim Goodrich, and we knew from other people as well, they're already bombing Iraq. They'd stepped up the bombing. But by the time you get to September 2002, there's no question that they were all involved in a calculated deceit against the people of the United States. And then you have September 8th, of course, where they come out, and by strange coincidence, you have five different administration officials on five different television shows talking about something that they claim to have read in the paper. No. So if you have any doubt about when it started, you can tell everybody that there's no doubt by the time you get to September. And then, of course, it gets worse and worse. And The final straw, really, when you come to President Bush, because people say, well, maybe he didn't read anything. Maybe he didn't know anything. Well, there's two points about that. One is that as the President of the United States, or if he were the CEO of a company, he has the obligation to do his due diligence. He can't just go out and make statements willy-nilly, to use Cheney's words. And that's not just my opinion. That's the law. That's what juries would be told. And if people try to influence people or get them to invest or get them to buy something by making statements that they haven't looked into, it's called reckless disregard for the truth, and it's fraud. So either he did that, or if he actually looked at something, there was no way you could not know that this information that they were throwing around about the tubes and the Niger and so forth was not true, or at least highly disputed. So you can't say you're certain about it. And if there's any question about whether he himself thought it was a good case about Iraq, consider this and tell your friends. I know you already agree with me. Tell your friends. By December 28, 2002, that's the first time, according to Bush's own statements, that he even got briefed about the weapons of mass destruction. That was the famous slam dunk conversation. So he went for a whole year or more talking about Iraq as a grave and gathering danger. He didn't even get briefed till the end of the year. And then when he is briefed, he knows it's not a good case. So it's, in fact, an overwhelming case. And as someone who's tried to protect victims and prosecute unjust acts throughout my whole career, I just cannot believe that our legislators are going to just walk away from this and not do anything.
Well, that, yeah. I think it needs to be, made very clear here that this is probably the primary reason right now for electing a Democratic majority in both the House and the Senate this November.
Right.
All right. Now, building on what I just said, and again, I want to go back to Congresswoman Waters with this one to start out, but I would like to hear what you all have to say on the